Blog Talk Radio.
I'm hoping it's safe to talk now. This is kind of really weird, but we seem to be having some difficulties. People, I plan on bringing you guys a great show. Let me go ahead and get into what I do. I don't know if this music is going to come back up, but it's been a weird day, and we've been dealing with the Da Vinci Code. That's my show today. I'm Arthur Joseph Smith, and an anointed man of God, and this is the revolutionary gospel news coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. It's kind of throw today. I'm not going to let it kill the show because I want you guys to enjoy the show. I'd like to thank you guys for coming out. I don't know what's going on with some of this audio. I hope everything comes through good, because if not, I'll do this. I have to have a recap and redo this show again for you. What we're looking at is what they call the Da Vinci Code. Many people believe that there is a code and a way of reading the Bible and being able to tell what it means. You know, they think they can read it in so many counts and trains and whatever, and numbers. I had a guy today talking to me, brought me some numbers of that was normal. Like, you know, you read it 49 left this way and 59, like, come on, do you really believe that? There's a lot of that going on today. There's a lot of mysticism in our world today. But where all this really starts at, the Da Vinci Code, when we look at this, is this fact or fiction? Is this something that is a reality, or is it fictional? Can you find a way to read the Bible that no one else does, and it just comes through, and you will have different stories or mysteries that most people don't have? That is something to be answered tonight, and we'll answer it. Through scripture tonight. And so within that, and I'm going to start off where it all started from. It starts at the man of Jesus. You know, we see this movie by Tom Hanks, which is known better for his performance in Forrest Gump, and then you have Andrea Tutu, a French actor, and she has several movies out there also. What it is, as it starts out, Tom Hanks, the movie itself, to make a long story short, the movie itself is about the bloodline of Jesus. There was an actual bloodline of Jesus, and the mystery was that maybe Jesus was messing with Mary of Magdalene, heresy for himself. There is no proof and there is no record that Jesus have ever messed with Mary Magdalene. And then they're talking about the picture, the paintings that came up on this portrait. This portrait was supposed to show that Jesus, that Mary Magdalene was more than just a friend in Jesus. First of all, if you look at that picture, if you believe that picture, let's consider something. Geographically, the geographical location and the color of the people, first problem. So we know these nice little pictures that come out of Europe and out of Catholicism, you know, for us, because here you have a Jesus that don't fit the geographical location. And if you look at the Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon starts off in verse 1, and Song of Solomon When you walk down from verse 1 to 5, you find out that Solomon was talking. I mean, the woman starts out talking, and Solomon comes along, and I believe it is verse 5, and he tells the woman, "I am black." First problem of the painting. Okay, I know we're not going to get into all the ethnicities of the Bible, but just understanding that one thing makes a problem with this picture. So here they have their white Jesus sitting up there, and his having Mary Magdalene, that was his girlfriend, as they portray in the movie. You know, that's what the big mystery of this picture was. You know, so you have that, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, so that Solomon, I mean, that not Solomon, because I'm sitting up here going to the Songs of Solomon, and it's some of the stuff happened tonight kind of throw me. It took a while to get up on the air. I pushed it back 30 minutes, but it seemed like we don't have everything fixed, and I'll see how everything comes through later. But this is the Songs of Solomon. When Solomon spoke, he said, "I am black." And this is the Songs of Solomon, chapter 1 and 5. This is not something I made up or something I want to see in the Bible that's not in the Bible. He said, "I am black, but come ye, O daughter of Jerusalem, as the tent of Kedar in the curtain of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyard. But my own vineyard have I not kept." So he is speaking prophetically. We know he's never been enslaved people. So we look at this picture, you know, this Da Vinci picture. Here's this white Jesus and this white Magdalene doesn't even fit the people in a geographical location. So we know that's a force. Then there's some people believe that they looked at that, and that was what the movie was based on. But there's some people who believe by numerology that they can count so many words out, and then the Bible becomes revealed unto them. But is this scripture, and I want to start where the book, the Bible, starts at, where it all begins, when it all begins to unravel after Jesus' death and his ascension to heaven to sit on the right hand of God in heaven. I want to start there. I want to look to see what power that he received when he had descended into heaven. And then we're going to get down into, can there be a Da Vinci Code? Is that possible? Okay, chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne," talking about God, "a book written within and on the backside seals with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book?'" Okay, who open this book? Open it, and not only that, but to make it reveal, you know, to open, to make, bring clarity to it. "And to loosen the seals thereof," the power of this book. "And no man in heaven," notice this, "no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth," you know, those in hell, "was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept and wept, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book." In other words, make this plain to us. We have this book today, people. And he's talking about your Bible. He's talking about the knowledge of good and evil. He's talking about the prophecy that's in this book. But to make it plain for someone to understand, it says, "neither to look thereon." And he says, "And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah,'" okay, the Jew, "the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." So he was the only one, after his death and ascension, he was the only one who had power to make the Bible revealed. So pretty much the Bible has been pretty much a closed book in a sense to all of us up until that time. Prophecies of the book. Okay? Not only the prophecy, but the clear understanding of the Word of God. There is a difference between an interpretation and a revelation. Interpretation, people, is when they take you make the Bible mean what you think it means. A revelation is having a clear understanding and accurate knowledge of what that scripture is saying. Okay? So we look. So he's the one who's going to be able to make this book open and to loose the seven seals thereof. He's going to release the powers and these actions that the prophets that have been foretold that come to pass. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders. Now, this is Revelation 5 and 6 where I'm at. And the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, talking about powers, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, and a golden veil full of ornaments, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open it. In other words, make it known unto us, and to seal in the seals thereof. For thou wert slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God king and priest, and we shall reign on earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round and about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. You know, that's what he was slain for, to receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard, and I say, blessing, and honors, and glories, and power, be it to him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. They agreed. And the four and 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever, God. Let's look at that. That's what Jesus died for. He died to redeem us to God. When you look in Matthew 1, it talks about he come to save his people. But not only his people, he said he has, in chapter 17 of John, he talks about a fold that's not of this fold. In other words, the Gentile as well as the Jew. Salvation for all mankind in our planet. But look at what he did. He said he redeemed us by the blood. So we have people out here who has never been blood washed, never been born again, trying to decode the Bible. See, they fail to follow the process procedure of what is supposed to be done and how you come into the knowledge of this. Now, remember, we're looking at the blood, but the understanding, where do the understanding comes from? How do you achieve this knowledge of the Bible? Because the power was given to Jesus to make this book plain to you, because you find out in John, I'm still going there, I'm going to jump over here, but I want to go where he's talking about the born-again experience, but I'm going to jump to John 16 because I want to show you something before I go off there, because he said he was the one who had been given the power. So how do you come about and get that power? There are many gone out, but have they gone out of God, or they're doing something else other than feeding themselves? I love that scripture, and I love how people try to interpret that scripture. Look at what it says in verse 13. And it's a thought to think upon, because I'm going to work back to this. The Gospel of John 16 and 13. Here be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever shall he hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. So here you looking for a code, the Da Vinci code. What code are you looking for? My Bible tells me when the Spirit of truth has come, When you have the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth. And he said he will tell you things to come. So these are the things you have to look at. Revelations 19. In Revelations 19, he said he will show you things to come. Now look at Revelations 19 and 10. Revelations 19 and 10, it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. It is of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Submit yourself to God for the testimony. The witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when he says he shall show you things to come, it is the spirit of prophecy. It is the clear understanding of the Bible. What we see in Revelation 5, he receives this power. Okay? And this strength. You know, the strength to recreate man. And so here it is. He said he has redeemed us by his blood. There we have where we get into what is the born again experience. He has redeemed us. Look what he tells us in John 3. See, they skip over this and expect to have an understanding of the scripture. And some are out there feeding themselves. All that they're seeing is what is in their imagination. See, because if the Holy Ghost is speaking to you, okay, it's going to guide you in all truth. It's not going to continue to carry you farther away from truth. How is that possible? Let's look at this. This is a sign of someone who has defected from truth, and I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm going back to the born-again experience, but I want to cover this part. Okay, Jude 1 and 12. Look what it says. So these are spots in your feast. Of charity. You know, when you guys come together in love and the word of God, they are feasts with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water. They don't have no Holy Ghost. Carried about of wind. Okay? Trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead. They were redeemed. And God gave them back. They're twice dead, plucked up from the root. Now, what it says, spirits. You know, you talk about people like, what do you mean that spirit? It clearly, the scripture identifies some of this stuff we see out here. It says, now the spirit speaking, and this is 1 Timothy 1 and 4, says, now the spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times, in the end of times, some shall depart from the faith. You know, traitors, defectors. To part from the scriptures, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what it's talking about when it says, without fear, feeding themselves, because there ain't no Holy Ghost talking to them. Carried about of winds, every doctrine, okay? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron, consciously dead. And then they're trying to teach you. So we find out. There is a process of procedure because he said he had redeemed us with his blood. Let's look at this in the Gospel of John. And that was 19 and 10 of Revelation. The Gospel of John, that was first. The feeding itself is Jude 1 and 12. When you go back, you can see those are defectors, those who have left away from the truth, who abandoned the teaching of God and begin to teach out of their, like they call them dreamers, teaching out of the imaginariness of their mind. Their depravity. It says, so John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God. So where is this Da Vinci code? He said, unless you're born again, so you're looking for a code, you ain't never been born again. But you think you're going to come up with some numbers and neurology, you're not tameable. You can't submit yourself to no scriptures. But somehow you're going to, without being born again, understand and walk up into the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus always preached the kingdom. His kingdom came in two parts. One was spiritual, and now we're waiting the physical arrival of Christ. Now here is number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. it is not possible for you to take part of our coming kingdom. Okay? If you're not born again, you can't you talk about a Da Vinci Code. Show me where there's a code on this Bible. I see it says the Spirit of truth shall guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost, people. If you have never been born again, if you ain't been born of water and spirit, you don't have the ingredients. You fail the process. You have not enrolled, but you expect to graduate. That's crazy. You sit in a college class and you never enrolled, and then at the end of the day, you're expecting your degree. What madness would that be? When you stepped up in here and you say, hey, I've been sitting in this class, but I never enrolled, but I expect my degree. How can you get a degree and you've never done what the Word of God has told you? Look at water and spirit here in the day of Pentecost. Because we see the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not a jabber-jabber tongue that you hear in these churches today, not that witchcraft, peeping and muttering that is explained in Isaiah 8, and I'm starting at 16, and it'll show you what that is. But he said they begin to speak in other tongues. What was that tongue? And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. No foreign tongues there, people. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. And make it very plain, they were speaking in the language of every man. That's how the Holy Ghost sounds. It makes the scripture plain to the point of conviction. So somebody can understand that they live in Rome. And look what it says. We start at 21, but go skip down to 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's look at the application. We're going to get there after verse 22. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God done. He said, no, he didn't say a God. He said, a man approved of God. A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you. He says, now, this is verse 37. Now when they heard this, when they understood what they were being told, they were convicted in their heart because they made plain the word of God in their mind. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now he washed us in his own blood. Remember that. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, now then back in verse 11, he said, redeem them by his blood. Where is the blood? We find in Acts 2:38 it says, he told us, repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins. Okay, by the life he gave, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So let's look at this. And he said, because if he redeemed us by his blood, look at where the blood said. Let's go look at the blood here. Okay, and I am in verse 5 in Revelation 5, and it says that Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, he's the first one to come back out of that grave, and the prince of the kings of the earth, okay, he's over all of us, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we find remission of sin in Acts 2:38. That's where the blood is at. He redeemed us. How you apply that blood to your life? You go down in the name of Jesus Christ. Is there a Da Vinci Code? How is that? When he said the Spirit of truth has come, it should guide you into all truth. You look at Romans 1. See, that's the whole thing. How does the Holy Ghost sound? What you're hearing. The clarity of the scriptures. It's not something made difficult. You can't understand. Romans 8 and 9. It says, But ye, okay, look, let's start at 8:8. And so then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It so be that the spirit of God dwelleth in you. You hear that? The Holy Ghost? And if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have no part of this. Verse 14 and 8 says, for as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby your spirit of adoption, we have been accepted into God's family. And we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. Then we have what we need. We don't feed ourselves. We're not going off our imagination. We're not going off of every winning doctrine of devils. Every time you hear something new, you're running behind it. It sounds so fascinating. Okay, when you have the Holy Ghost, you become gravitated. You understand, stay in the scriptures. Okay, and so you find out this is the spirit of adoption. You have become a part of the household of God. It was kingdom of his nation that is coming. It's a spirit of adoption whereby cried Abbot Father, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Ghost is bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. So we find out these people out here, they're trying to tell us stuff and trying to show us new things, and they don't even have the spirit of Christ. What you going to show me? You have never submitted to the scriptures. Some people have been given a chance and totally threw it out the window to be okay. Okay, and so they be out. They're trying to tell you stuff. They're trying to teach you. How can they teach you when they're feeding themselves? And see, he's warned us about these people before they came. Now, this even deals with defectors, because you have preachers went out there, were doing good for a while, but then they abandoned their posts. They are traitors. I could think of one I was sitting up under. He is a traitor. You know, he betrayed our doctrine, our Christ. Okay. And I'm in Jeremiah 23, I'm going to start at 21. It said, and I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. They don't have the Holy Ghost. Wells without water, twice dead, that many defectors. Some people just never have been born again. And I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. He said, the spirit of truth shall show us all things. And whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak. So how are you feeding yourself if you have the Holy Ghost? That is referring to somebody that is going off their imaginary mind. John 16:3 said, here be it, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth, not some. For he shall speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, wait a minute, it says, for he shall not speak of himself, for whatsoever he hears, shall he hears that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, the spirit of prophecy. But you see these guys out running. He never said nothing to them. He said, but if they had stood in my counsel, they left the word of God. They all wandering around, those born again, those who have defected, who was born again, as well as those out there who've never been born again, and have caused my, he said, look, if they had stood in my counsel and have caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil, for their evil, of the evil of their doing. Okay? But he was talking about these people that were sent. They were not sent, but they're out there. And Acts, real quick here, because we caught I'm in the process, I'm about to be out of here, people. Sorry, y'all, for delay and all the other stuff I had to go through today to get up on this. But he goes on to say, and he that, this is verse 19, Acts 19:2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Preacher, they never told you what is required of you. They never told you you had to go down in Jesus' name and be filled with the Holy Ghost. People, I thank you guys for coming out. And once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, an anointed man of God, go out and get my books, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. You can find them at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and on the other websites on the internet. Go out and get those books, and I guarantee you'll be blessed. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News. You guys have a great night.